It is a beautiful, cold, windy day in Toronto, Canada. It's only early September, but yeah, it's pretty fucking cold today. I got a long sleeve shirt and a hoodie on, and I love it, man. Oh, fuck. I guess, you know, weather-wise, I'm hard to please. Like, the first winter I moved to Toronto, it was unusually warm, and I was like, fuck yeah, man, this is the shit. I finally found the place in Canada where it's okay in the winter, because we're so far south. Like, if you look on a map, we're pretty fucking south for Canada. And I was like, awesome, this is the shit, this is where I gotta stay. But then last winter was really cold, really demoralizingly cold. I was just like, oh no, fuck. Fuck, it's so cold. But then this summer was so hot. So fucking hot. Just the worst. Just so humid. Just awful. As my friend Joel said when I saw him last night, it's just like, just glad that we're not sweating anymore. Just so sick of it. And I guess we'll see. We'll see if this lasts throughout the winter. But right now, this cold snap feels, you know, it's very fall all of a sudden. And it's so good. Ah, it's so much better. I'd way rather be cold and have layers on than just this heat that you just can't escape. You know, it's just like, fuck me. And this just really seems more like Canada. Even just the air, just the coldness of the air, man. It just brings back memories. Because this is how it's supposed to be, man. This is the Canadian way. So I guess we'll see. Once we're in like mid-February, we'll see how I'm feeling. But yeah, I don't know. Fuck the heat. Just another reason that I'm okay with living in Canada now. Nothing makes you love Canada more than moving to the States. And even the weather. I'm even starting to get down with the weather. It's the one thing that is fucked up here is our terrible weather. But maybe it's not so bad. So now that we've talked about the weather, today's show is about a guy named Jonathan Mann. Now, I was always kind of aware of this guy, because he did a lot of music for video game stuff. He used to review old Nintendo games, old video games for 1UP.com, but through song. And he did a thing called the Mario Opera that was super cool. So I was kind of aware of him, but I didn't really follow him too close. But what this guy's been doing for the last 3 years or so is writing a song a day. There's this other Jonathan Colton, who is a little famous for doing a song a week. But Jonathan Mann, yeah, a song a fucking day for 1,000 days. And I'm afraid I'm pretty late to this party. He's already in the late 900s. This thing is wrapping up soon. But I started getting really into this shit. It's fucking, some of these songs are really, really good. And his theory about it is the 70-20-10 rule, I think he calls it. 70% of the songs will be average. 20% will be kind of bad. But then that 10% is really good. And the more songs he does, the bigger that 10% is.
70-20-10. I've been writing a song and making a video every day since January 1st, 2009, and on September 28th, 2011, I reached my 1,000th song a day song. If you picked a random number between 1 and 1,000 on that day and listened to the corresponding song, there'd be a 20% chance that that song would totally suck. There'd be a 70% chance that song would be mediocre, but then there'd be a 10% chance, a glorious 10% chance, that the song would be totally, completely awesome. 70-20-10. But let's back up to the beginning. I started writing songs at the age of 12, but I didn't write anything good until about 16, and throughout college I wrote more and taught myself how to record. I also wrote, produced, and starred in a rock opera alongside Thomas Hughes of the Spinto Band called The Last Nymph of Leprechaun. Then, to delay the inevitable real world, I went to grad school where I wrote another rock opera, this one based on the Super Mario Brothers. Then, when the real world finally came calling, I started making online videos. I created a character called GameJew. Here are some of the highlights. I went to Ghana and learned about the video game culture there. I was the first person on the entire West Coast to get a Wii. I sang to Mario creator Shigeru Miyamoto. I wrote the music for a musical episode of a show on G4 called X-Play. I got caught in the middle of a May Day riot in LA. I wrote singing video game reviews for 1UP.com. I got invited to Vienna, Austria to do a 2-month artist residency. To get home from Europe, I sailed on a boat 18 days on the open ocean. I started making a song and video a day shortly after arriving home. Now, most of these songs and videos come and go like moments in time seen by my small and loyal audience on YouTube, but occasionally they go viral, like number 77 about Paul Krugman, or 202, which won a Microsoft-sponsored jingle competition and was called The Worst Jingle Ever by TechCrunch writer MG Siegler, or number 217, in which I responded to his criticism with a song about him, or number 561 about the iPhone 4, which Steve Jobs used to open Apple's AntennaGate press conference, saying...
Saw that on YouTube this morning and couldn't help but want to share it.
Sometimes the songs lead to or are inspired by really interesting experiences, like when I performed the Krugman song live on the Rachel Maddow Show, or number 588, in which I was commissioned to write a birthday song for Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak, or number 663, in which I was commissioned to write a birthday song for TED founder Richard Saul Wurman and invited to show the video at TEDMED 2010 in San Diego, or number 355, which I wrote while in the throes of food poisoning. Or number 566, which I wrote with half of my face numb, having just gotten a root canal.
And you know, there's arguments, there's theories of, oh, well, what if you just spent more time on the good songs? But he's like, which ones are the good songs? How do you even know which ones are the good songs? It'd be one thing if just everything you put out was just terrible, but it's not. It's really good. Even just in the little bit of time, like, I'm going to play these chronologically, the songs that I heard that I liked. And the vast majority are from the 900s, because that's when I got into them. But all the way through, whenever I'll just dip into weird places in the archive, I find all kinds of songs that I like. And it's just that work ethic thing, just to do it. And it's crazy. A song every day, that's nuts. But it's clearly doable, because he did it. So let's begin, shall we? This first one is based on the Legend of Zelda music, the Legend of Zelda Overworld song. And this was so far back, he hasn't started numbering them yet. So, sub 200. Which, man, isn't that crazy? I mean, for most people to write 200 songs in their whole life would be impressive. For him, it's like, the first 200 is like just the early, just the beginning. Just this fucking thing revving up. But yeah, this is a really cool little song. It's like real dramatic take on If You Were Link from The Legend of Zelda. And it's super cool.
Got something inside of me that'll make your blood run cold. This forest is so confining. At night when the walls seem to close in on me, I can hear a new life calling out. I wish I had a fairy, a friend to talk to when I was feeling down. And there's no other sound. I'm just a little elfin boy. I get a green tunic this year. But when my birthday comes and goes, I'll still be right here. I'm just a little elfin boy, but someday I'll be a man. You better believe that when that day comes, I'm gonna do all that I can to make my own adventure. Ride my horse through the fields of holly. They'll tell my stories, a legend they'll call me up. Oh, I can almost taste it. No challenge that I can't surmount. No enemy so great that I cannot face it. We'll be right back.
Now here's a cool one. This is song number 202. It's called Bing Goes the Internet, and it's that Microsoft search engine Bing that's supposed to rival Google or whatnot. They were having a contest for a jingle, so old man Jonathan Mann was like, well, shit, I'm writing a song a day anyway. Why not just make today's song a jingle about Bing? And I fucking love this song. It got all this blowback for being, like, cheesy and lame. It won the contest, even. But it's catchy as fuck. I think really... Whoa, did you hear that? It's because I was under an underpass, and then I came out, and now it sounds different. I think really what people are criticizing is there's also a video that goes along with each of these songs. Sometimes it'll just be Jonathan in his room playing the song, or sometimes it's, like, stock footage. This one was him doing, like, silly, weird dances. That's why the lyrics are like, if you want to learn how to dance like me, if you want to learn how to get pants like me. I mean, yeah, the video is pretty ridiculous, but man, I really think this song is catchy as shit. I like it. And then I'll follow it up with, it got so much blowback for being like the worst song in the world that he wrote a little song about how he wrote the worst jingle in the world. Ironically, I don't really care for that one too much. Actually, my least favorite song I'm going to play today is the one about how everyone hated the jingle. But, you know, it's just, it connects, it seems appropriate. So here's Bing Goes the Internet, followed by song 221, I Wrote the Worst Jingle in the World. Incidentally, I got this free Android phone from my pal Matt in Montana, and it's been pretty handy all around, and since my MP3 player broke, I've been using it to listen to music and stuff. But Jesus Christ, whatever this built-in music player thing is for Android, I hate it. It's so shitty. Fuck, it's horrible. It just locks up all the time and it's hard to navigate. It's balls. I also don't like touchscreens. Everyone laughed at me when I said this the other day, but I honestly think touchscreens are a passing fad. They're awkward. They don't work well. Just a huge pain. I mean, I think they'll stay around, but I think they'll stay around in combination with physical buttons. In the long term. Touchscreens are the Velcro of right now, man. Just take my word for it. It seems like they're everywhere and they'll never go away, but I think they will. Check in with me in 5 or 10 years. Anyway, alright. Bing Goes the Internet and I Wrote the Worst Jingle in the World. There's another song. I'm going to play one out of sequence here. It's not in my playlist. I guess I forgot to copy it over, but it's It's from way in the 900s, and it seems appropriate because it's called Trying to Write a Bad Song. And this song is so good. Trying to write a bad song. Trying. It's just this silly little song where he's just trying to fuck it up and do everything wrong. But there's this little, especially this one little musical breakdown that just hits at this weird point. It's fucking so catchy. I love this song. Here's Trying to Write a Bad Song by Jonathan Mann.
I'm trying to write a bad song. It's not very good, it should be not very good. I'm trying to write a bad song. I'm trying. It should be easy to write a bad song. It should be easy to do everything wrong. It should be easy to write a bad song. It should be easy to do everything wrong. So I'm trying. Everything wrong, and it's short too.
Man, I've only been outside like 10 minutes or something. And it seemed really cold when I first got out here, but already I took a layer off, I got my sleeves rolled up, I don't feel cold at all anymore. I guess that's part of it, is just like it's like superpowers that you get from where you grew up that you don't know about till you leave type of shit. Because I didn't grow up in Toronto, I grew up in the east coast of Canada, which is just a horrifying nightmare level, like of just a place that sucks. Sorry, I'm talking weird because there's people all over the place. They keep looking at me like, what is he doing? It's very self-conscious-y. See, this is where it'd be handy to have like an iPhone or something. I could just be talking into it like I'm on the phone instead of holding the recorder. I wonder what the sound quality is like on that Android. Anyway, yeah, I grew up in a really cold part of Canada. Like, so cold it's like traumatizing. Made me want to do anything to get out of there, so I moved to Vancouver and stuff. But then, like when I was in New York and I was dating a girl who was originally from Florida, and we had like reverse powers where in the winter, when I didn't find it that bad at all, because New York, really, how bad does it ever get? I was fine, where she was just like freezing to death, and she wasn't faking it, like her little feet would just turn into ice blocks. It was weird. Whereas with my Canadian superpowers, just, you know, it hits a certain point and then you just don't think about it anymore until it gets like really seriously cold, like you're gonna die cold. But on the other hand, I cannot take heat, and especially humidity. Like, I just gotta strip down to my fucking underwear, or I can't do it. It's just... Whereas she had no problem with that, you know, because it was hot all the time. It's just the normal state of affairs to just be hot and sweating all the time. But yeah, I think the cold, not only does it keep people from living up here, which keeps things nice. I think low population numbers are pretty much necessary for things to be pleasant. But I also think the heat makes you crazy, man. I think there's no question people from Florida are a little fucked up in general. And the southern United States, like, you know, all that shit. It's not just some fake stereotype we made up that isn't fair. A lot of shit is fucked up down there. I could go into details, but you know what I'm talking about. Don't act all offended. South is retarded. It's easily the most retarded part of all of North America. So, all right, now that I'm making friends, let's go on to another song.
Losing my hair. I'm just losing. I'm just losing my head, and all I can do is stare. But don't give me products, no, I don't need your goop. I'ma take it like a man, now I'm part of a troop. Oh, I'm just losing my head, and it's not exactly that I don't care, but change is good, so I welcome it. To hold on to the past feels desperate. Oh, I'm just losing my hair, losing my hair, losing my hair. I'm just losing my hair, losing my hair, losing my hair.
That was song 364, I'm just losing my hair. There's a lot of people out today. I think everybody had the same idea I did. Go out while it's not fucking just like melting us into puddles with the hotness. Yeah, it's a cool little ditty. I don't know, I don't remember exactly how old Jonathan Mann is. I think he's in his late 20s. And now that I'm a couple of weeks away from my 32nd birthday, I'm not losing my hair necessarily, but my hairline is very, very high. My dad also has that, you know, just a really big forehead. Like, in the summertime, I really do need to wear a hat or something, because otherwise my forehead gets burned really easily. And I got quite a bit of gray hairs. I got my first gray hair when I was like 21 or something. I got an uncle that went all the way gray, like Steve Martin gray, by the time he was 20. Someone's giving away shoes. Let me try these on. It's a thing in Canada. I don't know if they do it other places or people just leave stuff out by the sidewalk if they're gonna trying to get rid of it. You know, in case anybody else needs it. Oh yeah, those fit. I'm taking them. Let me tell you the story of my shoes. So I said I would never buy Walmart shoes again, because in the past they had fucked me so hard from just falling apart. I think the last time I bought some was in like Vancouver. And the shoes were so shitty, just fell apart so fast that I tossed them in a dumpster behind my apartment building on Commercial Drive. And I saw a homeless guy going through the dumpster, and he took out the shoes and looked at them and just threw them back in. That's how shitty they were. But here in Toronto, I did it again, bought some shoes, and like they seemed fine last week, and now this week, I mean, they're falling apart, like on the inside. Little bits of plastic started scraping me and stuff, but I can see through both the heels. Like, there's just literal holes I can see right through. So it's like, ah, oh, fuck. Guess I better start heading back to my house now. I'm thinking, should I even keep these shoes? Should I just throw them out again? Because, like, they're so fucked. But I guess, you never know, in an emergency, I might need them. So yeah, now I'm just currently super broke. No money at all. So I was going to go to the dollar store and buy, like, see if they had just like some insoles or something that I could put in just to get these things to last me another like week or 10 days before I can beg my mom for some birthday money, get me some fucking new shoes. But then I stopped at this thrift store, Queen and Lansdowne. It's a pretty sketchy part of Toronto. There's this coffee shop right outside there that all the weird, sketchy, old, fucked up dudes and chicks hang out at, drink cheap coffee. Anyway, I went in there and I found these awesome leather shoes that you just kind of slide on, like not, like loafer style. And they were only $8, but they're only like a size 8, and I think I'm a size 9 or 9.5. But I tried them on and they seemed okay. And I bought them with a roll of coins. My laundry money is what I was down to. So I'm buying shoes from the thrift store, the roll of coins, sitting in the parking lot, putting them on next to all the weird sketch bags. It's like, I really am one step away from just being homeless. It's fucking absurd. And they seemed awesome, but after a couple of days, I just couldn't deny anymore that these fucking things just didn't fit. They were way too small. It's getting blisters and stuff, and then I tried taking off my socks because that made them fit a little better, and then I got all these weird stingy, just scrapey cuts on my feet. It's too bad. They look so good, and they were $8. I was so proud of myself. So what I'm trying to do right now is reading up about stretching leather is I put a bag of water. It's only the right foot that's really definitely too small. I put a bag of water into the shoe, and then you put the shoe into the freezer, and when the water expands, it'll expand the leather. And they said, you know, this is an imprecise science. They don't recommend trying it with expensive shoes, but these things were fucking $8, so let's see how it works. Apparently it's a modification of like a cowboy technique back in the day. When their boots were too tight, they'd put oats in them. Then you pour water on the oats and the oats expand. Because they obviously didn't have freezers back then. So there's the long, boring story of my fucking shoes. Now let's move on to song 365, 1 year anniversary. Oh man, here's a box full of magazines somebody left out. Oh, it's all like House and Home magazine, Today's Parent, Fit Pregnancy. Not a thing I want, but yeah, I like that about Canada. It's just a thing. Just put out stuff that people might want because you don't want it anymore. It's a nice little cultural thing we got going on here. So this song is called Me, I Write a Song a Day. The story of writing a song a day for a year.
One year ago, 3,000 miles away, I picked up my ukulele and I started to play. And every single day, no matter what came my way, I picked up my ukulele and I started to play. Some folks, they want to change the world. Some folks, they go to church to pray. Some folks struggle to make a living. Me, I write a song a day. Many more to go. I'll write about my friends and the city all aglow. I'll write about what I'm feeling. I'll write about what I know. 1 year down, many more to go. Some folks have fun at parties. Some folks like to listen to the DJ. Some folks make a lot of money. Me, I write a song a day. Of my ukulele and I started to play. From the San Francisco Bay down the Blue Jay Way, picked up my ukulele and I started to play. Some folks struggle to find the meaning in a universe made of chaos and decay. Some folks have orchestras or power. Me, I write a song a day. Me, I write a song a day.
Whew, here's another reason to go home. I gotta pee so bad. Shouldn't guzzle down a coffee before I leave the house. There's just trouble waiting to happen. This place is pretty densely residential. Even out in Queens, when I'd be wandering around, I could usually find somewhere to piss, but that's not gonna happen around here. So, yeah, in that last song, he's talking about, you know, the things other people do rather than write a song a day, and I think that brings up an important point. How does he have time to write a song a day? I don't know the exact details, but he lives in somewhere near San Francisco, I believe, and does freelance something or other. Who knows what? I don't know. But whatever it is, he works from home, and I guess that gives him enough time to manage to record a song a day. Sometimes they're really short. Sometimes they're just like, it'll be a song about how it's the end of the day and he's got to write a song a day type of shit. It's one thing that's interesting about him just being at home all day is there's this song called I Hate Being Alone that really surprised me. I just figured if you like work from home and you're sitting at home all day working on songs, I just assumed he'd be the kind of personality that likes being alone. I mean, by and large, I like to be alone. I fudge it a bit. I'm usually listening to like a podcast or something, so I have like surrogate people with me. And what the shit is this? Like, there's been a ton of stuff just sort of sitting out today, but in this underpass, there's a whole guitar. It doesn't have any strings. But there's just a guitar frame sitting out here. Holy shit. Maybe it's like fall cleaning, time to give away all your shit. But yeah, so this song surprised me a little bit. I Hate Being Alone. Let me see what number that is. Ugh. I swear, man, this Android fucking music thing, Motorola Android, the first wave of them to come out, it's so garbage. I hate it. You're the worst. Oh my god, we're already up to the 800s. Yeah, like I skipped over a couple tunes. Is number 366, Happy New Year, Everyone. Very nice New Year song. Actually, I'll play that right after I Hate Being Alone, because it is good. Number 549, You're Defined by the People Around You. Just because I got so many songs, you know, it's going to go on forever. So then number 889, I Hate Being Alone, followed by number 366, Happy New Year, Everyone. While I race home to my bathroom to pee.
My mom called my friends on the telephone, but sometimes no one was free.
Dropped off my old shoes. Fucking man, it felt so good to take a piss there. Holy fuck, needed that so bad. I wonder if maybe I would be able to withstand torture, because I'd just be like, man, I've been had to hold gigantic bladders full of piss that just feel like I'm being stabbed. What are you gonna do, tear up my fingernails? Plah, pshaw. And I got rid of a layer of clothing. Because then again, I walk out of the house and I'm like, oh, that was a mistake. It's cold as hell out here. But I know in fucking give it 10 minutes, I won't feel it at all. So, I Hate Being Alone song. I think that's kind of interesting because like, it brings up going to movies by yourself or going to restaurants by yourself. Which I just take that for granted now. But when I think back, when I lived in my hometown, I didn't like going to restaurants by myself. Like, there's this one place, Mama's Pub. Has delicious chicken wings. They're so good. They're still, they keep getting less and less good every time I go home to visit. They keep changing recipes and new owners and stuff, but they're still my favorite wings. I think it's because they're like deep fried wings and then this hot sauce. Fuck, it's good. Oh, it's making me hungry thinking about it. But I remember hating to go in there by myself. I guess it's also like a pub environment more than a restaurant, but I would do it just because I wanted those wings so bad, but I had to psych myself up a little bit because I don't know, it is just, I guess it was weird back then to go to a restaurant by myself. But then when I moved out to Vancouver on my own, man, talk about a fucking exercise in loneliness. Knocked that shit right out of me, that's for sure. Going to movies, going to restaurants, I mean, I did everything by myself because I didn't know anybody. And now I don't think twice about it, it's not even remotely weird. But on the other hand, it is true that lack of human contact, it's not how we're supposed to live. Like those early months in Vancouver before I knew very many people. And just me being disinclined to hang out with the people I did know. You know, just not sociable enough to keep that ball rolling. Yeah, those were some not great times. And when I worked up in a projection booth at a movie theater, I really liked it. It's one of the best jobs I ever had. It's just a lot of fun for me. But day in, day out, being up there all by myself, with just no one to keep you in check, nothing to bounce off of, you know? I'd only see people a couple times a day. Yeah, just, I don't know, man, you just get weird. I guess I'm not describing that very well. I guess really what I mean is emotional, you know? Like, just very emotionally topsy-turvy. Just, I'd laugh at weird thoughts would come into my head, or just easy to get kind of maudlin about things. Even last year when I lived on Josephine's couch, and me and Josephine weren't exactly great friends, we didn't spend much time together. Initially we tried to, and then we were just like, ah, we don't we ain't gonna be friends, so let's just stay in our own little zones. And I tried to spend as much time as I could out of the house, because, you know, it's just weird being around all the time someone you don't really know, especially when you don't have your own room, not having a door you can close. Spent a lot of time just wandering around downtown Toronto. And, I remember it was winter, and I was at the skating rink in front of City Hall, Nathan Phillips Square, it's called. And everybody was off the ice because the Zamboni, that's the machine that clears, like, cleans the ice and, you know, smooths it out. That was going along, and everyone was just waiting. And I guess it's partially just memories of I haven't really been skating since I was a kid. Go skating with my mom and my brother. And just all those memories, Canadian memories, I guess, you know, fucking snow and having hot chocolate and skating. Anyway, they sound the, like a horn. It's like, all right, everybody can go back on the ice, and then everybody gets on the ice and starts skating. And it was just like, man, it just made me cry. It was like so beautiful. It's like some kind of Canadian Norman Rockwell moment. But I don't think it would have, except that I just was so isolated that year for the most part. So it's a thing where, in general, I like having a lot of alone time. But when you have too much alone time, it does get weird. So I certainly don't think I have quite the same mindset as Jonathan Mann, but I get where he's coming from, to an extent. This next song is song 897, Fold Into Yourself. Man, isn't that crazy? Like, there's just hundreds of songs I haven't even heard yet. Oh, that's an interesting thing, but I'll get into it after this song. So what he did is he set up a Kickstarter to get some money, because what he wanted to do is for a month out of this 1,000 songs in 1,000 days, he wanted to bring in some friends so he'd have people to collaborate with for the month. And he got the money, so for 30 days he did songs with other people instead of just by himself, which fits in nicely with I Hate Being Alone.
In April of 2011, I raised $13,000 from friends and fans on Kickstarter and used the money to record an album throughout the month of June. The album, in many ways, is a culmination of Song A Day thus far, incorporating everything I've learned while adding in the element of collaboration. Over 30 friends contributed, in person and remotely, to the project, the entirety of which was live-streamed 10 hours a day.
Eventually, I plan to go through the whole archive. But at the very least, I really gotta just listen to that month's worth of stuff, because I bet it's really cool. So this is a pretty short little ditty called Fall Into Yourself that he did with a bunch of folk. And it's a very nice little tune.
One thing sometimes seems like another. Upon closer inspection, a curse is a blessing. So you fold into yourself. Sometimes you just got no idea. The meaning seems hidden, but really it isn't. So you fold into yourself. You search in the faces of the people you know. You feel like Magellan, but the faces aren't telling. So you fold into yourself. You think maybe you'll find it in some place exotic, in an old elevator. Dinosaur crater, so you fold into yourself.
You start to get worried.
Now, what I was going to say before about there was like an overexposure to this project where he has like 9,000 subscribers on YouTube, but just because he put up a song every day, I think it just wore people out. I mean, I've only been listening for a little while now, and it's still almost shocking. Like every day, it's like, holy shit, another song? Really? So I'm sure if you started from the beginning, you know, eventually you're just going to start to take it for granted. It's just natural. Maybe that's a way that, like, the song a week thing would be easier just for people to digest. because his songs just vary wildly in numbers. Some of them have millions of views because they caught on virally in one way or another. And some of them only have like 200. So what he started to do right at the end here is he's got a separate channel for us daily people to stick with him. And then if a song seems particularly cool or people voted as the week's best or just is topical, then he'll put it back on his main channel. And instead of these 200 or 300 views that he's been getting every day as this project, you know, is nearing the end and people are just, you know, their stamina has run out or whatever, the numbers went back up. Now when he puts a song in that channel less frequently, it'll be in the thousands of views again. So it's like kind of an interesting thing, is that it's just abundance, like it's that there was too many of them. I don't know, I thought that was interesting. I started trying to apply that logic to my other podcast, The Vinyl Countdown, where we were putting out shows every 2 days for a while, and I think it's just too much for people. So now we've slowed it down to like every 4 days. Because I was just getting that sense, like even if I was a listener, would I still be listening, you know? Or would this have burned me out? My podcast heroes, Keith and the Girl, I mean, they do a show 5 days a week. And I've noticed that they've cut their shows down lately to like pretty much an hour on the dot, where they used to just go sometimes, like an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I think it's helpful that the show is pretty much approximately 60 minutes. You know, it's a lot more digestible. It's a lot less of an investment to jump in. You know, you'll just get in, get out, have some laughs. I don't know. It's an interesting idea to me that too much content isn't a good thing. You know, I think I mentioned this in a podcast I did last fall also, but I really think girls are hotter this time of year. Once it starts getting cold and you gotta put on a hoodie and you gotta fucking cover up some, I don't know, dude, it's just a good look. It's sexy to me. Maybe that's how tragically Canadian I am. When people are bundled up, I find them hotter than when they're all naked. Anyway, this next song is called Fitting In. Song number 935. I really like this one. This might be my favorite of this little batch that I got assembled. It's got a really good chorus. So here's 935, Fitting In by Jonathan Mann.
Sometimes I don't know how to be, and I don't know where I fit in. Without my help, all I'll ever be, all I've ever been. Well, I know that it's just another thought, just another feeling that I had today. Between eating breakfast and taking out the garbage, sometimes I feel disconnected and I don't know where I belong. I'm looking out, but it's misdirected. I'll bet it was inside all along. Well, I know it's just another thought, just another feeling that I had today. Between taking a shower and brushing my teeth.
Man, I am digging the shit out of this weather. I don't know, it just really reminds me of New Brunswick, especially the year 2007. It was where I was a babysitter for my niece. I don't know, I just really remember that time. Maybe it's because I'm at the Duff Mall. It's like the one Walmart in fucking Toronto. Is it Toys R Us? Is it Taco Bell I'm looking at? It's kind of the white trashiest part of the cool zone of Toronto. And I don't know, just like my hometown was totally just big Walmart and shit. Going to buy diapers and crap. Oh, yeah, fuck summer, man. I'm sure I'll eat those words, but it's so weird. I used to hate it when it was cold, but now it's just like, yeah. Guess I'm getting older, man. Leaves changing colors, whatever the fuck shit old people think is good. Oh, I wish I had some money, though. I'd go to this shitty Taco Bell and buy some shit right now. I got like a little bit of money. I got like $30 in the bank, but if I dip below that 30, my stupid rent check hasn't been deposited yet. That would be highly embarrassing. Just need that check to get deposited, fuck. Because you never know, some sudden banking fee or something could fuck my shit up. Alright, here's song 939. It's called He's Not Coming Back. It's quite a maudlin, dramatic tune. Kind of reminds me of like old Hayden songs. But this one, it's pretty cool. It's from the perspective of a dog. And I think it's pretty self-explanatory, so let's listen to that. He's not coming back. You know, that song is a good example of the stuff I was talking about before, the isolation thing, being tired is a huge one also, definitely emotionally unbalancing. And like today I woke up just feeling kind of exhausted and I had a weird headache, kind of hungover. And I managed to catch a little nap in the afternoon, but I'm like, now it's like sun's finally gone down. I'm definitely behind on my sleep. I mean, I kind of live in a permanent state of sleep debt. But yeah, just that song is so ludicrously sad in its tone that, yeah, I feel like it, feel it getting me, feel the little hooks getting me. And I mean, really, so some bitch broke up with her boyfriend, who gives a shit? The sad dog song, you know? But yeah, it totally was working. It's like, speaking of babysitting, my niece Allie, she was real young when I babysat her, like 2.5, 3, that period. Oh, look at that, there's the CN Tower. Yeah, and I just remember, like, I mean, I'm sure it's a little different, too, just being female, first off, but it's just, she was so little, like, just no real ability to regulate emotions. And just stuff like, remember that song Red is Blue, the Ben Folds song from Hoodwinked? It's a really good song. But yeah, she got this so sad whenever that would play. Any sad part in a movie, but that one seemed to stick out to me especially. Because realistically, in the movie, nothing that bad has really happened to her. She's just being all glum and emo. But this sad song plays, and she's just like, ah, turn it off, it's so sad. But yeah, in that, on that note, I mean, I'm glad, too, that I'm living with people that I like again. I think I prefer having roommates to, living on my own. It's just nice to have some people around to just chill out on the couch with and watch fucking TV. Alright, let's see what the next song is. Maybe it's a little less glum. Hum-chum? Perhaps it will be less glum, almost certainly.
Once in a while, everything becomes so clear. Focus, feeling, no doubt, hate or fear. Hey, I'm a soldier, fighting for world peace. Hey, I'm older than I appear at first glance. Christmas joking, I hope and never expect the doors that are closing for the sky when it erupts. Hey, I'm a boxer, fighting just to get paid. Hey, I'm a rock star, disgusted at what I've for all you folks. Hey, I'll wrangle the wheels and their spokes.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, that is such a cool little tune, and it's like, here you go, man, here's a fucking cool little tune, and then here it is. If you catch it, you catch it. If not, new one tomorrow. Like, it's fucking crazy. I really, man, song a day, 1,000 songs, like, If this guy had pitched me this idea, I would definitely have debated him. Like, what are you talking about, man? That's insane. But the practical reality of it is so cool. Like, it's tons of these little cool songs. Like, if he did a song a week, who knows if that song ever would have got written, you know? Like, it's fucking cool as fuck. Maybe it helps, too, like that it's music. Like, if you applied this same topic or the same work ethic to, like, writing or something, who's gonna want to read it, you know? Like, it's probably better to really fashion something carefully. Make sure that, you know, you're giving people the best possible. But when it's a song, it's like, it's much more digestible. It's like a nice little tune. You just listen to it. Maybe you only listen to it once. Maybe you listen to it a bunch of times. I don't know. It's just cool, man. Fucking cool. That was called Song 944, Once in a While. Next up, Song 948, Bamboo Forest. This one, I think he was at a family vacation or something. He was in Hawaii for a while. So this one is just him outside hanging out in the bamboo in the video, doing a little song about bamboo. Very nice little tune.
Ooh, bamboo. Ooh, 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 ooh. Ooh, bamboo. Wow, ooh, ooh, ooh. Bamboo makes me dance. Bamboo makes me swing. Bamboo makes me do almost anything. Bamboo all around. Bamboo in the ground. Bamboo through the blue. Bamboo in the clouds. Ooh, wow, ooh. Bamboo, bamboo. Ooh, wow, ooh. Bamboo, bamboo. Bamboo is a tree. Bamboo grows and grows. Just where bamboo goes, nobody knows. Bamboo got your tongue. Bamboo got your nose. Bamboo jump up high. Bamboo in your clothes. Bamboo muddy mud. Bamboo muddy clack. Bamboo up in front. Bamboo at my back. Oh, oh, bamboo. Ooh, 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 bamboo. Wow, wow, ooh. Ooh, bamboo. Ooh, 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 ooh. Ooh, bamboo. Ba-boo, ba-boo, ba-boo.
Here's an appropriate one. Song 954. I'm fasting for 10 days. Because I was just thinking, like, I gotta go home soon. I'm getting really hungry. I don't have much to eat at home, but I got a bit of stuff. This is, like, really silly. I'm just so down to the wire, down to nothing. But just a little bit longer, another week or whatever, and I'll just beg my ma for some money. 32 years old, grown man. Grown man who doesn't want to get a job. What's this? Little tiny garbage can. There's been, like, a ton of stuff I haven't even mentioned of the people leaving stuff on the side of the road. Just tons today. This is like a little suitcase. Does this open? I'm sure it's empty. And a blender bottom without the fucking jug part. Seems of limited use. Yeah, I kind of want to finish this off because I think I'm getting near the end, but I want to stay outside while I do it because if I go home. My aforementioned roommates, as charming as they are, it's weird to talk to myself and do a podcast around them. But yeah, oh, geez. So want to just go get some food somewhere, man. So yeah, this song, Old Man Johnny, he's a vegan fellow, and this song is about him fasting, obviously. And I don't know, it seems like such a weird thing where the older I get, the more interested I am in just kind of hippie type stuff, learning ways to just be cool with your place in the world and be more relaxed and just be more connected to my physical surroundings, more connected to my emotions. I think I'm doing okay with it. And like, if the whole world went vegetarian or vegan, I'd be fine with it. I could manage, but until it's like the issue is forced upon me, I don't think I'm gonna. But it makes a lot of sense. However, fasting, I don't know, man. I've heard the theory, cleanses out your body. Apparently the colon in particular, all kinds of weird stuff builds up in it. But it just doesn't seem like from a physical, biological standpoint, this could really... How can this make sense? Like, I try to think about, like, my current situation in life. against the backdrop of, like, what would it be like if I was just living in the forest or something? You know, am I having reactions to my environment, or are things, you know, is my body reacting in certain ways because it thinks I'm still there? You know, it's designed for a more primal life, and now that we have this modern life, obviously evolution hasn't really changed or caught up with us, so it's like the two things are in conflict. And, you know, I try to think that way when I'm confused about something. So fasting, like, who the fuck is gonna fast if you're living in the woods? I guess you'd have a whole different diet and stuff, but it just seems highly unnatural to just drink, like, liquids and shit for 10 days. It's fucking, I'm not convinced. Sounds bananas. I don't think I would do it, but Johnny gave it a go, and this is the song about that. I've worn myself down with that hunger song. It reminds me of that Mr. Show sketch about David Cross is, like, playing, like, a Tibetan priest dude who's fasting, and all he can do is talk about all the delicious food he wishes he was eating. It's like, fuck it, I'm going home. I'm gonna get some food. A bowl of Reese Puffs or something. Got a few more songs to go. Maybe I'll just do it in the backyard or something. So here's song 957, I keep meaning to tell you that you're wrong. I find I lean a lot toward his, just his nice little acoustic songs, just him and a guitar. The arranged ones are good too, but I just a man and his guitar, man, I got a soft spot for that.
Lines across a page will make a picture in due time. Lines across her face will mean that time has gone by. Lines up in the sky will mean that airplanes are flying. Lines up in a row means you're locked up and left to die. Screaming, dreaming, you don't know what I'm scheming. I keep meaning to tell you you're wrong. Bricks and mortar shells raining down upon cement. Stronger, faster, harder, better by 30%. Another day goes by and I didn't know just what it meant. I look back and marvel at what exactly that it went. Oh, screaming, dreaming, you don't know what I'm scheming. I keep meaning to tell you you're wrong. Hey, I'm just an elephant who's lost upon the plains, chased by hyenas and munching upon grains. Bathing in the sunlight and drowning in the rain. Feeling pretty good except for these glowing pains. And I'm screaming, dreaming, not knowing what they're scheming. They keep meaning to tell me I'm wrong. It's best that you don't think about the knock upon the door. It's something that you knew but had never talked to before. She'll pick you up and spit you out and kick you down on the floor. Or she'll love you till you're senseless and a silent midnight roar. Screaming, dreaming, you don't know what I am scheming. I keep meaning to tell you you're wrong.
Trying to write a bad song. I'm trying. It should be easy to write a bad song. It should be easy to do everything wrong. So now I'm sitting on my back porch with a huge bowl of Reese Puffs. That's one thing, as I get a little older, I tend to lean toward the more adult cereals. I really can't eat like Cinnamon Toast Crunch anymore. I used to love that stuff. It's just too much now. But Reese Puffs, fucking fuck, those are good. They're like the devil's fucking cereal. I don't even think they had them when I was a kid, but they're so good. So yeah, sitting on the back porch with my big bowl of cereal. If the dude from the convenience store downstairs from us comes out to throw out boxes, he'll hear me talking to myself, or the old Portuguese lady who runs the laundromat next to us. We all share a backyard. But what can I do? All right, here's a song, 9:59, and then we crash. Now this song, when I heard it, I was like, what the fuck is that song? I know that song. What is that song from? And then I clued in because on Jonathan's other channel, he does some videos sometimes about old Nintendo games and memories of old games. It's called Blowing the Dust Out of the Cartridge That Is My Mind. It's really cool. And he did one about Excitebike, and this was the music from the background of it. So yeah, this is like the Excitebike music, but done all mellow and awesome. So I'll play the little Excitebike theme first from the old Nintendo game and then play this song. It's really neat what he did with it. So 9:59 and then we crash as I eat some cereal. Thank you. Fuck, those are good. Oh, Reese Puffs, so good. All right, this one's 968, the obligatory hurricane song. This was Hurricane Irene that passed along the east coast of North America. Man, it bugs me how in Canada, pretty much Toronto is considered the east coast. It's fucking absurd. Not only is there the giant, massive Quebec beyond there, but then the Maritimes, which is where I'm from, that everyone just fucking ignores just because we're poor and no one lives there. But I mean, come on, that's the east coast. Toronto's the fucking middle, man. But now that I'm here in Toronto, I do understand why no one gives a fuck about, you know, Eastern Canada, because, I mean, Canada's got a very small population. New York City has got almost this population of our whole country, but, you know, Toronto's the only place where anything's going on. But just don't call it the East Coast. It's not. It's not the east of Canada. It's just not. All right, so obligatory hurricane song. Catchy little ditty.
Here comes the hurricane. Look out, it's coming. It's gonna blow you down. Yeah, it's gonna blow you down. Yeah. All up and down the east coast. Got earthquakes now. The hurricane's coming around. Yeah, it's gonna blow you down. Yeah, it's gonna blow you down. It's gonna blow. On dry goods, have contingency plans, 'cause it just may knock you down. Yeah, could blow you down. Oh, it's gonna blow you down. Yeah, it's could blow you down. My YouTube fan Smith Nagel just got me this guitar. It was mighty fine of him. So stay safe and warm, stay out of harm, take shelter from the storm, 'cause it just might blow you down. Yeah, gonna blow you down. Oh, I could blow you down. Yeah, I could blow you down. Oh yeah. Stay safe and warm, stay out of harm, take shelter from the storm, 'cause it just might blow you down.
One last song. I'm sitting in the backyard in a t-shirt, which is nice but also cold. Time to wrap this baby up. So I definitely recommend that if you liked these songs, even if you didn't, don't be a dick. Come on, he's almost at song 1,000. I think you should follow Jonathan Mann at the end of this journey on YouTube. He's got the Rock Cookie Bottom as his main channel. Song a Day Man, M-A-N-N, is where he posts all the daily stuff now. Subscribe to both those. The Game Jew is the channel where he talks about video games. And if you do a Google search for his name, Jonathan Mann, M-A-N-N, you'll find his site. It's all there. I don't have the URL right off the top of my head. It's a fucking cool as shit thing that he's doing, and I like him. Oh my god. I'm actually getting some internet back here, just barely. Okay. You could do this just as easily. It's fucking Google World, but fuck it. M-A-N-N. Enter. JonathanManMusic.com. Awesome. So to finish things off, the last song I'm gonna play is song 975, Live Just for the Mo. And even just in the couple of months that I was compiling songs to do this show, you know, I was a fairly harsh critic because, again, it's just so easy to take them for granted. It's like, well, if I'm not totally into this song, another song tomorrow. Like, even just listening to a song two or three times, you know, will really, even if it doesn't get you the first time, there's a good chance it will after a couple listens. But sometimes I don't, because I know there's another song tomorrow, you know. I guess, you know, I'm a busy man. I don't know. Anyway, this was one of those songs where I was like, I'm not sure. Not sure about this one, until there's this breakdown in the middle about how he lives in the CPU in the center of the universe and lives forever and doesn't feel time, and it's fucking awesome. It's this little genius moment in this song. I was like, oh, that's fucking excellent. So I went back and listened to it another two or three times, you know, just to see, and then I realized, like, what the fuck was I thinking? This song is excellent. This is a fucking great tune. So that's what we're going to end off with. Hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you go follow Jonathan Mann as he quickly careens towards Song 1000. And this is Song 975, Live Just for the Mo. You can, of course, find all my shit at keithcourage.com. Like the TurboGrafx game.
Seems to always hurt.
I'm not stopping Song and Day. I have no reason to. Through the friends I've made and the places it's brought me, this project has been the most important of my life so far, and I'm hoping it's just getting started.